Blog Talk Radio.
You know there's more to this world than what you're told. Paranormal phenomenon, supernatural forces, government conspiracies, alien visitors. Step out of the world you see, open up your mind, and get ready for another round of strange at the Supernatural Radio Show with Corrine DeWinter and Nino Del Padre. Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. Listen up, world. Here's Corrine and Nino.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new edition of Supernatural Radio Show. And I am joined by my co-host, Karen, the lovely Karen Kay.
Hello.
And actually, Karen is the reason why we have our guest, Mark Borax, on tonight, because Karen had kept emailing me Mark Borax's predictions and, you know, astrological predictions and everything that he was writing in his blog or on his website. And I was so intrigued by it that I went and looked it up, and I just thought it was fantastic. So that is the reason we have Mark here tonight, thankfully. Thank you, Karen. And we're going to welcome
Mark. And he will tell you about how you can sign up and get his free newsletter every month. Yeah.
Right. Hey, Mark, are you with us?
I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, just getting over a flu, but, you know, I'm ready to talk with you and happy to be on the show.
Good. Thank you so much for taking time out. If I knew you had been sick, I would have postponed it, but hopefully we'll do okay. So, Mark, now, we talked about this a little bit over email. This is the year of the horse. And you've written on your website, it's markborax.com, correct?
Yeah, M-A-R-K-B-O-R-A-X.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about yourself as an astrologer, a little bit about your background and how you came to be what you call the soul level astrologer?
Well, a lot of it was because I met the man who I ended up apprenticing to, a man named Elias Lonsdale, out in Santa Cruz, California, back in 1987, during the year of harmonic convergence. I was told about this phenomenal astrologer whose readings were said to be on a whole other level than every other astrologer, and I signed up for a reading and had to wait a few months. Just like now, clients actually have to wait a few months in order to sign up for my readings because I'm pretty much booked until April. But at any rate, this was back in 1987, and I met this man in Marin, California, and walked into the office with him and then spent a couple hours entering an altered state as he spoke of things that were so... they seemed to have hidden meanings that were unlocking all kinds of dimensions inside me. And I knew that something much greater than an information session was happening. I knew that there was something that could change my whole life that was going on in there, but that I wouldn't be able to sort it out for quite a long time. And when I walked out of that room after getting my first not my first astrology reading, but my first astrology reading from the man who later became my teacher, I said to myself, I would like to be able to do for other people what this man just did for me. And I'd been studying astrology on my own without any classes for 4 years, and now I got carried into this new dimension, and a week or two after the reading, I began my own professional practice, call it soul-level astrology, and then began studying with him in a small mystery school under the redwood trees in Bonnie Doon, north of Santa Cruz, California. And the story of what happened in that mystery school for 7 years during my apprenticeship went into my first book, which is called 2012, Crossing the Bridge to the Future by Mark Borax. It later became a bestseller, and it's a memoir with kind of a page-gripping intensity as to my mystical adventures in love and sex and astrology in those 7 years. And that was where I learned how to look at the birth chart from a much deeper level than other astrologers. And I've made that my practice now for 27 years. And my other book have increased my visibility all around the world. So I work with clients in many different countries, mostly by telephone. I do 80-minute readings and record them digitally. And I also meet with clients here in my home in Vermont. And once or twice a year, I go back to Santa Cruz, California, and meet with people there.
Wow. And I know, Karen, did you see Mark actually, Karen, in person? Oh, she's not there. Sorry. My friend Karen, who's co-hosting with me, you were on Washali's show a couple times, I believe.
Yeah, I think I worked with her from being on Washali's radio show. Washali and I knew each other from the Santa Cruz years. We were quite close for many years. In those days, there was a whole community of us all working together. And I think that was where I gave Karen a reading, was on Washali's radio show.
Wow, okay. So, Mark, when you're working with people, typically if someone comes to you or calls you for a reading, what's the first thing that you do besides ask them when they were born? I mean, what are you giving them? What are you actually giving the people besides an astrology reading?
Well, it's sort of a two-part experience. The first part is I gain all their birth information and I draw their chart and study it. And in the 30 years that I've been working astrology, I've developed my own shorthand system of marking up a birth chart with many different notations and symbols. It's kind of like jazz music in that even though I study the chart and I kind of imprint it deep into my own psychic consciousness, I still have no idea what's going to come out during the reading because it's extremely improvisational. But what happens during the reading, which these days more than 95% of my readings are by telephone, because obviously clients in Australia aren't going to come to Vermont too soon to get a reading in person. So New England clients, I much prefer to meet with people in person. In the old days of my career in Santa Cruz, every reading was in person. Nowadays, like I said, less than 1 in 10 of my readings are in person. They're all by telephone. But those people close enough to come visit with me in Vermont, I welcome that. But the process of the session is very improvisational, but it's based on a deep study of the mystical side of the birth chart. I call it soul-level astrology, S-O-U-L, because I use the chart as a window to get to the core nature of a human being. And I'm looking in that session at who you are, why you came here, what gets in the way of that, and how to dissolve that resistance. So I'm really working on the deepest of all levels with people. And in that session, I'm using every tool that I have in my toolkit. I'm an actor, a director, a musician, a writer, and as well as an astrologer. And whatever tools I need to use to help a person plug into their own deeper nature and awaken to their own stuck karmic patterns, because we all have them, and turn around their greatest challenges, that's what I'm doing. I'm using my skill to do that. So the astrology is a window to the soul. I'm not really an astrologer's astrologer. I'm a people's astrologer. I've done many 80-minute sessions without once mentioning a planet or a sign or a house. I'm not interested in the astrology. I'm interested in the soul. The chart for me is a window. I'm not really there to talk about the window. I'm there to talk about the person. And so my readings have a wide variety of forms they take, from shamanic healing sessions that have almost nothing to do with the chart, to counseling sessions, to, you know, a lot of laughter, a lot of understanding. I'm doing whatever I can to cheer that person on to fulfilling their own greatest destiny and getting their own getting out of their own way.
Right. That sounds fantastic. You know, I just live in Massachusetts. I don't know if you knew that.
I knew that the show was coming from Massachusetts, right?
Yeah. I think I'm not sure how far I am from you, but I think it's about an hour, you know. But it would be interesting to come and see you and get a full reading from you.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. So as we, you know, Mark, now you are a horse yourself. Is that correct? Not
that's
to call
right,
you Mr. Ed.
I was born in the year of the horse, and in the year of the wood horse. Go ahead.
Okay. No, so, you know, and I told you that I am also a horse. I'm a fire horse.
We're two horses. You're the fire horse and I'm the wood horse.
Right.
Uh-oh. I hope you guys have
insurance.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens when you come together.
Yeah.
Dramatic. I'm ready.
So, what does the year of the horse signify? I mean, I know you've got this on your website, markborax.com. You guys, if you go and hit subscribe, because he sends out some fantastic information. Can you, like, what does this year mean?
Well, first of all, let me say that we're not technically in the year of the horse for 8 more days. We're still in the tail end of the snake. This is the final week of the year of the snake. But we're on the verge of the year of the horse. And as you mentioned, people can read my report on this by going to markborax.com. That's markborax.com. You can sign up for my free monthly cosmic weather report and find out about my classes and my readings.
Right. So, you know, all right, so in 8 days it will actually begin the year of the horse.
Yes, and at that point we will be in our year. So you're a horse, I'm a horse. And the year of the horse is a year of motion. It's really, especially after the year of the snake, the year of the snake, which was 2013, was deep transformation, the need to shed the way that a snake sheds its old skin, its old structures, its old thought forms. There's been a lot of need to do that, a lot of volatility in the year of the snake, and we're right at the end of it now. But the year of the horse is about motion, getting things moving, going after your passion, going after your desire, going after your relationships, releasing those life structures that get in the way of true freedom, and finding out what is true freedom, what gets in the way of it, and how to release that. Those are some of the main themes in the upcoming year.
Well, that sounds good. So as a person, you know, that's not a horse, it probably kind of means the same thing as for us as horses, right?
Yes, it's like during the year of the horse, we're all kind of temporary, honorary horses. We're all moving through the same vibration as the horse. But for those people that are also horses, because they were born in previous years of the horse, it's even more so. It's like double or triple that. So the whole world will be going into motion in the year of a horse, which is about motion. But those of us born in a year of the horse have a natural affinity for that. And so it really becomes our year in the sense of, you know, if you're ready to go, you're given the go-ahead. And horses really have a special job in the 12 animal signs of the zodiac, and that job is to lead themselves and others across the karmas, across the bridges, into the new territory. And so everyone will have a bit of that in the year of the horse, but it's even more so for those of us that actually are horses.
Right, right. So it is really a different kind of vibe than, you know, quite different than the year of the snake.
The year of the snake, we've been wriggling and writhing and, you know, serpentine motion, nothing straightforward. And think of the way that a snake moves, you know, it can't move straight. It's undulating, it's trying to break out of the old, it's low to the ground, very, very little perspective. The horse year isn't particularly about perspective either, but there's a bit more perspective because you're higher up than a snake, but it's really about motion. It's about running with your tribe, with your partners, breaking free, and so much of the year of the snake is a setup to, and these are the final days now, to really make use of the snake's year of letting go of those things that truly hold you back. Because once the year of the horse occurs, the accent shifts from the need to shed the old into the need to run with the new.
Right,
it is,
right.
Yes, a much different year, a much freer year than the year of the snake.
Much less
internally coiled. And much, you know, a snake is coiled. It's all internal. A horse is much more external, running with the wind.
Right, right. Karen, what were you saying, Karen?
I'm saying hopefully much less painful.
Well,
the shedding of the skin stuff was really emotionally difficult.
It's been a kick-ass year. It's just, this year has just kicked the butts of so many people.
Sure has.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of, you know, I know you call yourself, as we said, the soul level astrologer. Mark, do you believe that where the planets are, and I know you're going to say, well, of course I do, I'm an astrologer, but where the planets are when we're born, that does have, you know, like, okay, for instance, other astrologers that say this is how Scorpio people are, this is how Capricorn people are, what do you make of a usual astrology reading in comparison to yours?
It's a good question. The best way to answer that, in other words, what is soul-level astrology and how is that different from all other astrology? The best way to answer that is to say that on the day that I met my teacher, and this is a scene that I describe in my first book, which I highly recommend. It reads like a page-turning novel with scenes and dialogue. It is not an astrology book. It's a real fast-paced read. 2012, Crossing the Bridge to the Future by Mark Borax. But in that book, I described this scene. It's all a memoir. It's all true. It all happened. Where I meet my teacher for the first time, and he says to me, so you're interested in becoming an astrologer professionally. At that point, I'd been working in the comic book industry for a number of years, but I was dissatisfied because my writing had never fully blossomed. I got kind of sidetracked into comics promotion, and I was involved with agenting writers and artists and doing very little writing. It wasn't as creative as I wanted it to be, and I was thinking, hey, this astrology thing that I studied for 4 years. Maybe I could actually make a living at that. That was one of the main questions I asked Elias Lonsdale, who later became my teacher, this crazy California wizard, this giant of a man with a huge white beard. And I was asking him in Marin County, California, could I have the makings to make it as an astrologer? Could that really be, you know, this was a young man asking this question in 1987. I was 33 years old, and I was trying to find out, what am I here for? What can I do? Why hasn't anything yet fully panned out? I know I have tremendous potential, but how come I can't seem to get anywhere? Could I be an astrologer? And he said to me, if you really wish to become a great astrologer, and looking at your birth chart, I could see that that's the only kind of astrologer you could ever be. If you're going to do this, you're going to have to be a great astrologer. And if you really want to be a great astrologer, you need to remember one thing more than anything else. Do not ever think that you know what Gemini and all the other signs are. Be willing to find out what Gemini is all over again each time you sit down with a new Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
The difference between soul-level astrology and all other kinds. I use your sign as a starting point. It's not a typecasting device. Oh, she's a Gemini, therefore she's fickle and wishy-washy, and she can't ever stay in relationships and all the other stuff. It's what is the soul of Gemini? It's the difference between using any art form, like music. You take a band who's a million-selling band, incredibly successful, and they play the same damn show every night of their life for year after year. You take somebody else, like a jazz band, Charlie Parker or the Grateful Dead, and they take music and they use it to wrestle with demons and angels and get somewhere and bring everybody else with them, and they fall flat on their face many times, and a few times they actually get you there.
Right.
Using astrology like that, of the soul, like jazz.
Right. Yeah, and that's a great way of putting the music, the analogy there. Now, you know, when you've said a couple of minutes ago that you're helping people work through the heaviness of themselves, what they're trying to get their souls, you know, to rise out of the crap that we put ourselves on ourselves. What can you mention some stories where you've helped people do that?
Yeah. I gave a reading to a woman in Brooklyn, New York a year ago, or a little over a year ago. And like with all my clients, I give it my best shot. I believe that if I can't change your life with one of my sessions, that I failed. And so my code for 30 years has been, each person who comes to me, I'm going to change their life. And so everybody who I work with, everywhere in the world, I'm giving it my best shot. And so same thing with this woman in Brooklyn. She was split from her family. She had severed the connection with her family of origin because for years, They were verbally abusing her, holding her back, failing to support her, completely misunderstanding her. She decided she had to cut them off. It was one of the painful issues that came up during the reading. She wanted to know how I felt about that. I said, you know, every time I hear somebody say something like they're contemplating cutting themselves off from their family, I feel very sad inside, but I absolutely honor your right to do that if that needs to be done. You can't always repair a relationship. There are times where you have to sever a relationship. I just want to be sure you've done everything you can and you know that that's what needs to come. And she said, absolutely. this was something she'd been giving many thought for years to, and finally had come to it and just realized she had to. She had to let go. And I said, all right, well, then I support your choice. And she said, then that frees me. I don't have to be here anymore in Brooklyn. You know, what should I do with my life? What do you see? And I said, well, follow your deepest creative dream. If you're cutting yourself loose from the old, go on a vision quest to find out what do you want the new to be. Don't transplant the old to the new right away, but go deeper, dig deeper into yourself and start that new life and, you know, give it a chance to succeed wherever it is. I forgot about the reading in the coming months because I work with hundreds of clients a year, and I don't remember all the readings. And then a few weeks ago, I got a phone call from a woman who identified herself, and she said, I'm not sure if you remember me or not. You gave me a reading a little more than a year ago. You told me to change my life, to start over. I left everything behind. For the first time in my life, I moved out of New York City. I moved to Florida. For professional reasons, I changed my name, and I just launched a line of products, of aprons and mugs, and made simple, beautiful lotus design, and put a spiritual creative twist into all of it. And it's all working, and it's all coming true. And it was because of your reading. I just absolutely took your advice, and I went with it, and it's working, and it changed my whole life.
Oh, wow. That is so cool.
It was a beautiful confirmation that my words at the right time in this woman's life got to her sufficiently that she really found the courage to radically change her life in a new direction that was already bearing fruit. And the sound in her voice was so upbeat. She sounded like a little kid at the first day of summer set free from school. You know, she was just like,
yeah,
she was on the verge of a whole new existence that just felt so free.
Right. Excellent. Well, you know, Mark, I often say that as an astrologer even, and as a psychic or a medium, which I know you're not, you have a huge responsibility when you're working with people because they could change their life because of you, and you want to make sure that it's not, you know, information that's not, you know, coming from spirit or something, or at least from your own heart. So how do you know when you're giving the right information to people?
It's a good question. I think the best response is that I believe that some deep inner part of you, your core nature, your essence, what I call the soul, knows exactly who you are and what you need to be and what you need to do far more clearly than I will ever know it. And my approach when I sit down with you, whether it's in person or by telephone, is to use all of my skill to shine a spotlight on that part of you so that you and I together can put our ear to the soul and listen to what a part of you already knows. So I don't look at myself as the big expert that has all the answers to what you have to do in the future. I look at myself as a cheerleader. I'm there to get you to listen to yourself and to help you distinguish when you're following a false call, a conditioned attitude, when you're still being pressured by someone else's idea of who you're supposed to be. I'm there to help you distinguish that voice from the deeper voice of the soul.
Right. That sounds great. So would you say that most people return to you? They see you more than once, probably?
And I'm not sure that it's most. I would say it's probably, well, you know, I've been doing this work for 30 years, so I've done thousands and thousands of readings. It's probably about 30 to 40% clients come back to me, and probably somewhere around 60 to 70 just come once. And so there's always new people coming in, but the frequencies are always different. I get these fluky things where somebody says, I know you don't remember me, but in 1987 in Carmel, California, you gave me a reading. I lost it, and then we moved to a new home. And after 20 years, I found the cassette tape, and I listened to it, and oh, my God, I could not believe how clear and true the things were that you said, and I want more. So there's a person who came once, I thought, for, you know, 28 years, and then she came back again. So she wasn't just a one-time. So some people come once, twice, three times a year. Some people come once a year. Some people come once, and then they come back again in 3 years. Some people never come back. Some crazy people get one reading a week for 9 months. I'm just one of these astrologers who has no real routine about it. I just it's one of the things that has kept me on my toes and kept my work from getting boring through the years is it's always something different every single time I use it.
I bet.
Can I ask you, Mark, besides doing a natal chart, what other charts do you make?
I throw in the progress chart, the transiting chart, and something peculiar to my astrology, which is dharmic currents. So at the same time I'm looking at the person's natal chart, which is your lifelong chart, I'm also factoring in the current timings and the near future. So I'm overlaying the natal chart with these various cycles of timing.
Okay. Mm.
And some people come back for shorter sessions or longer sessions. My standard session is 80 minutes long for $310. And I also have doubles and triples, you know, that are twice as long and almost twice the price, or three times as long, almost three times the price. Radical people do three-day intensives, which is a triple session every day for 3 days. And then some people get timing cycle sessions, which are about 45 minutes long. All of these are digitally recorded, so people don't have to take notes, because I like you to stay very intimately connected with me, because I can read you much better that way. And then I send them the MP3 file so that they can listen to the recording.
Right. Now, they can find you at markborax.com, and do you have a Facebook page, too?
Cosmic Weather Report is the Facebook group. It's the name of my monthly newsletter. It's also the name of my second book. My first book, 2012, Crossing the Bridge to the Future, is a memoir. The second book is not a memoir. It's me and my teacher getting together to look at how to turn around the strongest challenges of our time. It's a deeply mystical, spiritual look at how to get very real on planet Earth right now, Cosmic Weather Report. So there's a Facebook page people can join, Cosmic Weather Report. And then if you go to my website, markborax.com, you can sign up for the monthly newsletter. The monthly newsletter lets you know how I see what's going on in the stars currently, and it will also let you know if I'm offering any classes, workshops, or annual discounts on my readings or public appearances, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I know you said at the beginning that you weren't up for doing any readings tonight, but your overall synopsis, like when you do the Cosmic Weather Report, you're really, you know, telling people, you know, what's going on in this time period. I don't know if you do that once a month or once every few months, the Cosmic Weather Report.
I do the Cosmic Weather Report once a month at the beginning of the month. I do a special extended version for the new year. So the most recent one, Cosmic Weather Report 2014, Year of the Green Horse, is longer and more in-depth than my normal monthly ones. In this New Year one, I give a rundown of the 12 sun signs in the year 2014. In my normal monthly cosmic weather reports, I don't talk about the sun signs. I just do a much more abbreviated version of what's going on.
All right. Can you give us a little preview of February?
I haven't actually studied February yet. So my mind is just more on the overall scope of what it means to be entering the horse here. And so what I could say about February, since I haven't really studied February yet to write my my monthly report, I've just been focused on the yearly report right now. But that's the beginning where the snake gives way to the horse. And so mostly what that's about is freeing yourself up from the old thought forms in order to recognize that you have much more mobility than you've probably felt that you've had for a long time. That's the general prognosis of February.
Now, does this entail, you know, everyone's talking about how lately people have been breaking up and relationships, friends are being let go. Is that sort of part of this whole process of the horse, or?
It's both, you know. The art of identifying what's really going on in the stars and bringing it down to Earth is a subtle, organic art where part of that is coming from the year of the horse. Horses are ultra-relational. Just think of what happens when a horse bonds with a human being. A very intimate relationship is created that can last for many years between a human being and a horse. A horse is ultra-relational. So, yes, some of what's happening with all of the tremendous relationship shift that's going on throughout the planet can be attributed to the year of the horse. But like all things, organically, that's one part that's feeding into the relationship issue. We're also moving through the Saturn and Scorpio years. And in this period, there's a deep, deep need to get real. And the truth is that few relationships are already that real, and so they're needing to get shaken up. Either the people that you are deeply bonded with are ones that you truly need to be connected to, or you're caught in some sort of illusion where the relationship either needs to go or you haven't gotten down to the truth of the relationship because you haven't gotten self-honest enough yet to really find yourself in relation to that other person. So the year of the horse, Saturn in Scorpio, and a few other things that all overlay at a certain time period, just like the movements of the planets. The moon goes around the birth chart every 29 days. Saturn goes around the same birth chart every 29 years. Mars takes 2 years. So if you picture the birth chart as a snapshot of the position that 15 planets were in during the moment of your first breath on Earth, that was a static painting, if you will, of a moving situation. But the planets never actually stopped like that. You just took a picture of the camera that makes them appear to stop. In truth, the movement of the planets is like a celestial clockwork, a giant old-fashioned town hall clock, where if you open it up, you have gears that are 1 inch in diameter, and you have gears that are 14 inches in diameter. They're all moving at a different rate. Some of them have more than 100 teeth on the gear, and others have 5 teeth. And so all these different forces are moving at the same time, and yes, the relationship shakeup can be attributed to the coming year of the horse, as well as Saturn in Scorpio and some other things that are going on now. But the year of the horse especially pertains to getting super clear about who you're running with, who's your lover, who's your partner, who's your collaborator, who are the people that are holding you back? What do you want to do about that? It's always an issue with the horse of passion versus freedom. The horse's two main drives are the drive for freedom and the drive to claim the object of your passion. And being a lifelong horse now, I'm approaching 60 years old, that's been the story of my life, following my passion, following my urge to merge and get together with love, and that call of freedom, that independent streak. So we're all moving through a period that is likely this coming year to raise further relationship issues.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, I've seen it happen in my own life recently. You know, friends and lovers and lover. You know, the separation. It almost feels like there's a crevice happening. And I don't know if this has anything to do with the year of the horse or just the vibration of the planet right now. But it seems like it's, you know, like while there is a coming together of, you know, love and things like that, like, you know, just how we're getting along more in some ways, it also seems that we are seeing each other like I am, you know, it's us versus them, kind of. I don't know, you know, I guess, no, that's kind of part of my, I guess I'm judgmental, but it just seems like the crevice is getting wider between light and dark. And do you know what I mean?
Well, it's the best of times and the worst of times. It's both. We're living through the best and worst of times right now, and that's the key underlying signature of our decade. I write about this deeply and extensively and very clearly in my second book, Cosmic Weather Report, Notes from the Edge of the Universe. And you should especially get that book and look at this, because exactly what you're saying now, that at the same time a new consciousness is overtaking the planet and it can't be denied, it's also becoming worse than ever in terms of the gap between us and them. This is the main subtext of that Cosmic Weather Report book. That's different than the Cosmic Weather Report monthly newsletter that you can get on my website for free, markborax.com. But in fact, what you say is something that I've spent many years studying, and I think the main reason why we're living at the best time of all and absolutely the worst time, both, is that it's a changing of the ages from Pisces to Aquarius, and the Earth is going through extraordinary birth pains so that the new can be born, and the new doesn't get to be born easily, delightfully, harmoniously. As anyone who's ever given birth will tell you, there is usually a lot of pain involved, a lot of struggle.
Right. So I wasn't too far off when I said that. Excuse me.
No, I think you're right on with that.
It seems like it's going to be the year of being with our tribe, finding our tribe, having those kinds of communications and strengthening them. I'm just wondering, will it be more obvious for those people who don't have a sense of that? Will it be easier for people to kind of recognize their family, so to speak?
It should be, because the horse likes to break things out in the open. Unlike the snake, which likes to keep things close to the vest, hidden, very, very secretive, the horse is not a secretive animal. The horse is, let's get it moving, let's get it out in the open. And it is a very strong tribal energy. Finding those you're intended to run with and running with them. And so, yes, there should be more experiences in the coming year of getting clearer about who you're really supposed to be with and who you're not.
Great.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. We're going to take, Mark, we're going to take a short break, and just about a four-minute break, you guys. I'm going to play a song, and we will be back. And if anyone has a question for Mark, please call us. And the number to call is 818-369-0327. Be right back.
Visit purpleplates.com today. For over 40 years, the Purple Energy Plates have been delivering amazing results for their many customers. Inspired by the great genius Nikola Tesla, the harmony, healing, and energetic effects of the plates have proven over and over to be beneficial and often miraculous to thousands of customers. With their money-back guarantee and the many benefits, how can you afford not to get one? Check their site for daily specials and choose from their many energy products. You won't be sorry. Visit them today at purpleplates.com for mind, body, and spirit. And expect a miracle.
That was Lisa Gerard on VN from the CD, The Mirror Pool, and there's just something about that song. I just, it's got to be one of my favorite songs ever. It's just so powerful. Okay, so back to, as I sit here daydreaming. Karen, did you have a question that you wanted to ask Mark?
Oh, I think I asked them. The ones
okay,
I asked.
Because, yeah, no, so Mark, okay, so we're going to get, this year we're going to have the opportunity to meet up with the souls that we are meant to be around, you know, the people that we're meant to run with, and we're probably going to be separated from a lot of people at the same time, I'm assuming.
Yeah, by the way, that music was extraordinary. It's definitely taking me a while to come back from that musical journey that you just went on.
I know, and I hope you guys remember this. I want that played at my funeral.
Yeah, that was deep. That was really powerful.
Yeah, you would like the whole CD, I think. It's just a fantastic CD. I mean, she's great, you know. She was in
Maybe
that band... I could burn it for you. She was in that band, The Dead Can Dance. Do you remember them?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's what was familiar about it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I used to like them, too, but I like her better alone without that guy, you know?
Yeah, wow, that was really different than their music.
Yes, yeah.
Wow, what a powerful journey. That was. I was looking at a map of Italy, and for some reason, I have a map of Italy on the wall. For some reason, that sent me back to my year in Tuscany in 1998. I was riding my Harley-Davidson through the world. I rode through America, and I shipped it to England, and I rode through Europe, and I stopped for a year in the mountains of Tuscany, and somehow that music... And the map of Italy on the wall next to me just was sending me back to Italy.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah, it was a nice little trip that I went on right there.
Mark, do you
have your Harley? Sorry. I just wondered.
Mark, did you have your Harley? Karen wants to know.
Do I have it?
Yeah.
And no, I sold it. Unfortunately... I let go of my Harley, but for 2 or 3 years, I just rode through the world. I was just free. I was using the motorcycle like a dowsing rod. I had no home and no destination and no girlfriend, and my parents had recently died, and I had let go of my astrology work in Santa Cruz, and I was just cruising through the world, and... boy, it was an amazing experience. And later, after I came back to the States, I ended up selling my bike, so I no longer have it.
It had its purpose.
It did.
Mm, definitely. It sounds
great
that way.
What a great...
Yeah.
What I love that you followed your heart that way. That's just such... I mean, it's such a perfect thing for an astrologer to do, too, just following your soul, following your soul's leanings and... That's wonderful.
I had to at that time. I had just gone through a 2-year period where my mother died, my father died, my grandmother died, my uncle died, my relationship broke up. I had a health issue, health crisis, and I just realized I can't keep taking care of everybody else's soul anymore with astrology. I need to take care of myself. And I let go of everything and bought a brand new Harley, and I just rode and I rode and I rode through the world, and brought my mother's ashes to the mountain of St. Francis, which I ended up living in a little town called Bibiana. And from my balcony, I could look out in the mornings and see a mountain that was given to St. Francis by a nobleman, where his first little chapel was, not in Assisi where the church was, but before that when he slept in a cave under the earth. I could actually see that mountain had a very unusual silhouette shape, not like most mountains, and I could see it every morning. And so when, on my mother's birthday, I took her ashes in the saddlebag of my Harley and I freed them up on that mountain, and a wind came just then and blew her ashes, and they glittered, and they blew away.
Oh, that's so neat.
You know, Amma, the hugging saint, I don't know. Well, she says that St. Francis was the real deal, as you know, compared to all the other saints that he won. Yeah.
I could feel it, because when I walked into the chapel, it was a dirt floor under the earth. It was his first chapel, and you could maybe fit 10 people in there. And the feeling that I got was like a cosmic vacuum cleaner. It was just the energies that were rushing through that chapel were amazing. And I've gone to other certain sacred sites and holy sites, and sometimes I get a direct hit that it's the real deal, and other times I feel nothing at all, and it's really just kind of something that's become commercialized. But you could really feel the power of St. Francis or whatever he was plugged into right there in the nature. It was still there.
Wow. So, Mark, do you do anything like astral traveling or, you know, lucid dreaming or anything like that?
At various times in my life, mostly in my late 20s through my 30s, that's when I had most of the extraordinary mystical experiences I've had. Very, very unforgettable experiences. I'm a little more down to earth now. I became a father at age 50, and I have a 5-year-old son and a 10-year-old son. I got married for the first time a few years ago, bought a house for the first time just a few months ago here in Vermont, and I've actually become much more anchored in mundane reality than traveling around on the astral planes as much as I used to. But all of that stuff and many of those earlier experiences still are strongly with me and still inform my daily life.
Right. Interesting. So you're liking the domestic life.
I'm loving it because I've been a gypsy all my life. I've been a traveling poet, lover, artist, writer, musician, Harley rider, astrologer. You know, I've just traveled around the world playing music and had many, many lovers and many friends and music partners. And to actually be settling is a new thing for me because I didn't have that growing up. My parents moved a lot. We didn't own our own home, so I never really had to kind of break away from the straight world. I never became corporate and had to wake up and let go of it. I've always been, a 1960s hippie. I've always followed the call of the soul. You know, I've always followed the call of love, the call of music. But now to have actually earned my way into a domestic life for the first time isn't something that's old that I'm going back to. It's the first time in my life I'm actually kind of growing up, and so it feels ultra magical, the life that I have with my wife and my children. We're really like a band of gypsies, and to actually be stationary for the first time in my life is a huge change, rather than something old that I'm coming back to.
Right. And you are an Aquarian, correct?
No, I'm Libra. My teacher says it Libra. I'm a Libra with Sagittarius moon and Sagittarius rising.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought, you know, yeah. I don't know why I thought, because you're a horse, I thought maybe you're an Aquarian too, you know?
No, no, I don't have any Aquarius in my chart, but I have a lot of Scorpio, even though I'm not a Scorpio. I'm a Libra with a lot of Scorpio and some strong Sagittarius.
But right. you use tropical dates, right?
I do. I use a normal Western birth chart that all Western astrologers use, but I've been trained to look at it from a much deeper view. So even though it's the same exact chart, I have all different associations with the planets and the signs and the houses. So that's why people who've gotten their chart read for 50 years always hear something completely different when they come to me.
Wow. Well, I'm excited about getting a reading from you.
Well, it would be wonderful to meet you. And like I said, I infinitely prefer meeting with people in person. So if you want to come up here, I'm currently scheduling for April, and pretty soon it's going to be May, because at various times they get booked many months in advance. But at any time you'd like to schedule a session, it would be wonderful to meet you.
Thank you. And I will do so shortly. And I know you haven't been feeling that well for a while now. You said you had you actually had the flu or something. And so we're gonna end the show a little bit early. And Mark, I so much appreciate you joining us tonight.
Well, it's truly my pleasure, and look forward to coming back again sometime in the future.
Oh, yes. Thank you. That would be fantastic. Okay, and you guys check him out, Mark Borax, BORAX.com. It's in the chat. It's on the homepage in the chat room. If you want to, above the chat room, if you want to read his other links on there, and on Facebook as well. And we will hopefully welcome him back on again one day soon. And I will say good night to everyone, and thanks you guys for listening, and tune in for the next show. I'm not sure when it's going to be, but I'll let you know. Okay, good night, Mark, and thanks again.
You're
good
welcome.
Night,
good
Mark.
Night, and many blessings for the Year of the Horse.
Thank you.
Feel better.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
outside my dress, far away from this masquerade.
Living hell of another world.
Step out of the world you see.
You do not respond.
The Supernatural Radio Show. Open up your mind.
We programmed your brain.
The Supernatural Radio Show.
You must learn to obey.
Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. The Supernatural Radio Show.
That's